This episode is brought to you by the Arvada Center, because they're kicking off their summer concert series in June. Relax under the stars at the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater and take in acts like Melissa Etheridge, Big Richard, Tower of Power, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, The Spin Doctors, and so much more. Concerts are scheduled for June through September. You can find a whole schedule of events and get your tickets today at arvadacenter.org. That's arvadacenter.org.
Today on CityCast Denver, the hottest food truck of last winter has become the hottest restaurant of the summer. And that's without a Michelin star, thank you very much. At least not yet. Penelope Wong of Yuan Wonton has been too busy making dumplings that keep flying off the line. But we got a coveted reservation for her new brick and mortar in Park Hill. So today we're asking, which came first? The food truck or Denver's dumpling moment? Today is Monday, September 18th. I'm Paul Caroli, in for Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. All right, I'm here with newsletter editor and resident foodie, Peyton Garcia.
Hi, Paul.
Hey. And joining us today is the assistant food editor at 5280 Magazine and the author of my new favorite column, all about dumplings I can go eat today in Denver. Ethan Pan is here. Welcome.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So Ethan, let's start with dumplings, because between your column and honestly my personal experience, dumplings are having a moment. What's your experience of that? Tell me about that.
I first ideated this column like months ago, mm-hmm. when there was sort of like a big hurrah, I would say, in like the spring. And just like, it's just dumpling restaurants were opening left and right. Downtown in the suburbs, it was just like everywhere. I was like, what's going on? Like there's something in the water, and the people are using that water to make dumplings.
Do you think it was Penelope Wong's James Beard nomination?
I mean that was big news for sure. And also
she's the chef behind Yuan Wonton, which yes, we'll talk about more in a minute.
Super impressive for at the time of being a food truck to get a James Beard nom. But I don't know. I mean, I think that there's probably, you know, there's always a Chinese cuisine is a very, I mean, a lot of these dumpling opens were Chinese restaurants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always been a classic in American dining scenes. But I think more and more people are like, we're ready to invest in the dumplings. We're ready to like build a concept around it. We're ready to like, and for, so those are like businesses, and then like consumers are ready for like, you know, more laborious, more creative dumplings that might have a higher price tag, but mm-hmm. are also probably worth it in the eating experience. So mm-hmm. I think everyone's enjoying it, hopefully.
Are you enjoying it, Peyton?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't realize there was a dumpling moment happening until it was brought to my attention by you and then by Ethan's column. And then I was like, oh, is there a dumpling moment happening? And then after I had a lovely dinner with Ethan last night, I learned a lot about dumplings and the moment they are indeed having.
Yeah, here. What'd you learn?
I mean, it's so much. I'll start with the fact that I don't think I knew what a dumpling was.
Would you have a definition?
No.
Okay. Why?
I guess, there is a very rough definition that Peyton and I got into generally. So in my first installment of my dumpling column for 5280, it was just, I included a definition from Merriam-Webster, I'm pretty sure, that was just like boiled or steamed dough, like a piece of dough. And that's super, super
it's
vague.
A lot.
So I would say like generally dumplings are like bite-sized-ish. They are filled-ish, but you can have like gnocchi and chicken and dumplings mm-hmm. and African like fufu and like a bunch of those things that are often called dumplings. And those aren't filled. Mm-hmm. And then you can have dumplings that are oftentimes boiled or steamed. A lot of Chinese dumplings are like that. But there's also like, you know, fried wontons, and like frying it doesn't not make it a dumpling anymore, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Peyton gave the great example of, or posed the question of like, is an empanada a dumpling?
Oh,
and I was like,
good question.
It kind of strays on all of those fronts.
Seems
of
like
it's like fried or baked. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it is filled, but it's like kind of big. But I sort of, I think it's a very equal opportunity term. Whoever wants it can have
it. You're not trying to start any fights here.
No.
I like that.
Gatekeeping dumpling is like not at all, I think.
Well, let's
helpful.
Talk about that actually. I want to talk about gatekeeping dumplings.
Yes.
Because Peyton, let me introduce you into the dumpling craze.
Okay.
People are losing their minds. You know, it's not just me and Ethan. I found a comment on the Denver food subreddit from a user named rluker1980. I'd like to read it and hear your thoughts.
Okay.
This person writes, I can say with, they're talking about the Yon Wonton food truck. They say, I can say with 80% confidence that a lot of her success is because of the behavioral psychology she strategically or unknowingly unleashed on her audience, parentheses, white people with disposable income looking for cultural food experiences in Denver, end parentheses. The pre-order system she unveiled created a big FOMO event. This created a big WOM, which I don't even know. And then social media, dot, dot, dot. This person goes on. It's a very long post. What do you think?
Gee, I don't know. I feel like I need a minute to digest that. What do you think, Ethan?
I have immediate thoughts. And my thoughts are the Redditor is kind of right, but also like not fair. I don't think any of these points are fair as criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're fair as like recognition of her genius.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say
Penelope's.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, the rest of the people involved and her whole team at Yon Wonton. The pre-order system, I think, definitely created a sense of FOMO. It created a sense of FOMO with just me, in fact.
Oh, my God.
And I'd never actually even had her dumplings at the food truck. I just tried it for the first time last night.
Really?
Yeah.
So cool? Because I was like, oh, boy, like, I don't want to go through all of this.
The food truck was hard to pin down, hard to get, and such a beautiful Instagram account.
There is a very strong logistical reason for that. And, you know, making dumplings is a very, very labor-intensive thing. And if you care at all about, you know, having a sense of like what your, you know, demand is and also like, you know, timing your like service so that it's like relatively manageable. Like, I think what she had in place was very much also just a core to being able to conduct her business. To the point of like the audience.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, how do I put this?
This is the white people with the income, disposable income in search
yeah. of. Okay, mm-hmm. First, I think that that is not something that most business owners are trying to do. It is something that those people that have the disposable income that are looking for those experiences place on businesses. Like, usually, I mean, you can sort. I guess you could, if you know, somebody out there is probably like, ooh, yeah, let's take advantage of them. But I think most of the time it's like people in general have different curiosities about culinary experiences. People with disposable incomes are more able to obtain those experiences. And for sure, Penelope's cuisine is unique and very, you know, eye-catching, but they're also eye-catching for me. You know, as somebody that's also an American-born Chinese person, I totally see where that identity is being manifest in her food. And that's also for me. That's not for
where is it?
White people.
What do you see? Will you share? What do you see in her food?
Oh, I mean, it's like every single item. Every dumpling she has is like slightly traditional, but also slightly untraditional.
Yeah, I mean, we had that whole conversation last night too, in some of the stuff that we were eating, and it was cool. It was really cool to have that experience with Ethan. If everyone could go with Ethan, it would be.
Oh my gosh. I was so jealous. We only could get the one seat. Anyway, we're going to talk all about that experience you two had at the new restaurant where she has completely changed her model and is making dumplings faster than ever, I imagine. But that's after a quick break and a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Pine Melon, the farmer's market delivered. Pine Melon is a next generation grocery delivery app that partners with over 200 farmers, ranchers, and producers in Colorado to help make fresh, locally sourced foods available to the Denver community at fair prices. Get high quality meats, eggs, and dairy from small local farms, fresh baked breads from local bakeries, and more, as well as all of your favorite pantry staples. best part is Pine Melon offers same day delivery to Denver and soon Boulder within a 2-hour window, no subscription necessary. Save time in your busy schedule and get fresh and healthy groceries delivered right to your door. Join the movement and support local today. Use promo code CityCastDenver for $75 off your first delivery at pinemelon.com. That's pinemelon.com.
All right, and we're back. The new brick and mortar is from a interesting coalition of food trucks and a bakery. Yuan Wonton is perhaps the star, but fucking Rapidos is the partner. Another really hot food truck. And then the bakery is this sweets and sourdough. They've opened a concept I do not understand. You two ate there last night.
Yeah.
Tell me everything.
And it's still a little bit confusing. So like I looked for a website. I like read all of the media articles. And there's not a name. They're not operating as one entity. It's a building that is housed. It's an unnamed building housing three concepts that just are rotating. So
interesting.
There's no name for it. So if you're in the mood for fucking Rapidos, and just so everyone knows, it's fucking Rapidos.
important to clarify.
Yes.
Thank you.
If you're in the mood for fucking Rapidos, you go and they'll have their hours there. And then same thing with Yuan Wonton. They're not joint, but then they have certain nights of the week where they're doing collaboration menus. So some nights of the week, it's just Yuan Wonton. Some nights it's just fucking Rapidos, which is operating under a different name, To Eat by PKR. And then I think during the days it's sweets and sourdoughs. They're doing their bakery stuff. It's very confusing, even as people who went last night.
It's such a high concept thing. I've never heard of anything like this before. I mean, maybe it's sort of like a food hall,
it almost
collaborating
just feels like
part.
Yeah, they're just sharing a space. Like they're just three businesses who support what the other is doing, and I don't know. Is that the vibe you're getting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. I also think that part of it is that Yuan Wonton is such a big sort of brand now that she's not just a dumpling maker. You know, and her, so you can also, I think this is actually maybe why I'm confused, is because you can get Yuan Wonton in the morning, like in the mornings, and I think there might be dumplings, but there's also like a bunch of like breakfast items, like as traditional Chinese, like buns and stuff like that, that are really awesome to see also being available in this area. So, I mean, it's confusing to me. I think it's, you know, we were shown like 4 menus yesterday. Every day is just like
a different adventure.
Yeah.
A different adventure. Kinda,
it's so much that they put into this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, for sure.
I mean, that's a big thing I want to talk about. Because she went from a food truck where she was hand making dumplings by the thousand, as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. I've made them at home. I know how much work that is. And I did a terrible job. Mm-hmm. She's doing a beautiful, immaculate job.
Yeah.
But now she's got this super high concept restaurant she's opening right now. Like, this has got to be a pressure cooker. Like, what is your scent? Like, what was it? What was the vibe in there?
She seemed very calm, which was very impressive. This is her second week of service, which is, you know, I wouldn't say an easy one. Mm-hmm. And you can follow her on Instagram, and, you know, she has been sort of documenting day by day the whole process of opening, which has been very fun to see. You know, she used to, so we at 5280, we did a food truck package in, I want to say March. Mm-hmm. And we did like a week in a life with her. And I think if I remember correctly, in that story, she used to spend Mondays and Tuesdays basically exclusively making dumplings, like folding dumplings, basically. And then like, if she had other things on her menu,
just got so
like,
wide.
Then she like does other stuff. But like, it was like, you know, it's such a, I mean, it's just like a beast of a task.
It's dedication.
I like Paul have tried. It's not easy.
No.
It's hard.
Yeah. To get them beautiful. Like this.
Right.
To
and
the
then
standard.
They're ugly. Like, yeah, yes. maybe edible, but mine are hideous.
And that's part of the fun is that they're so gosh darn pretty. Tell me about the food last night. Was it pretty? Was it delicious?
It was great. I thought it was fabulous. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I feel like I wish there was like, you said this earlier, it was like, I wish everyone ate with could go with Ethan. I wish I could go with everyone there and just like point at each item.
Yeah.
And
it was so cool.
Give my little brief on it. Cause it's, you know, for people that don't grow up in a Chinese household, it could be hard to like notice some of the intricacies of like her basically like, it's not even hybrid. Cause it's like, it's both at the same time, you know, we as people that were born here, but our families didn't necessarily come from here. Like we always live with this, like we're Chinese, but we're not fully Chinese kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's like every single item that she had is a little bit like that.
Give me your favorite. Tell me about your favorite one.
You know what? Funnily enough, though, I do think that our favorite dumpling was the, I believe it's like the collab with the fucking Rapidos. It was the khao soi wontons. Those were really delicious. Mm-hmm.
What's in there?
It was, I think, a chicken and chive.
Yes.
And then there was like a more like khao soi-ish curry broth, coconut thing with like kind
of... Oh, it was so good.
Like common khao soi toppings.
It was juicy.
What does that word mean? Khao soi?
Ooh, I think it's just the name of the dish.
Oh, okay. My mistake. Go on. What else?
I will also like... I had a very fun time eating... I mean, the dumplings are all immaculate, very pretty. I would say like a lot of the like she nails the technical points. Like the doughs are made really well. Wontons are like hold their shape, but are like very slippery and, you know, pleasant to eat.
And I want to add right there, when we arrived, so this whole episode's supposed to be about dumplings, right? This whole thing with Ethan is supposed to be dumplings. And we arrived, and I got there before Ethan, and I looked at the menu and I saw one item that said dumpling. And I was like, oh, well, how are we going to do this? There's one dumpling item here. Yeah. I thought she was known for her dumplings. And then I had this conversation before we placed our order with Ethan about what a dumpling is and how it's not what you think of when it's not just pot stickers from P.F. Chang's, right? Mm-hmm. Which is how I think a lot of Americans think of dumplings. But these wontons, so when I say wonton, I think the deep fried crispy like crab rangoon wontons, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
These wontons were, because Ethan kept calling them dumplings. And I was like, "That they're not dumplings though, they're wontons." And he was like, no, they're dumplings. And then when they came out, they very much look and feel and taste like they were dumplings. I don't know. It was just an interesting experience for me because they weren't what I thought a wonton was.
Yeah.
And same with the bao bun. We ordered the bao bun, and you think of a bao bun as the open face sandwich thing, but it wasn't. It was a dumpling.
Well, I also think that this gets into like this very complicated mixture of like language. And like, so for the wontons, I call them hunduan. That's how I called them growing up. They're always soupy. Crab rangoons are like nowhere out. Like it's kind of just like a crazy idea that somebody that like had at some point, but like would not be. I don't like the word authenticity, but like it is also like, whoa.
You're talking about the deep fried,
like crab rangoon, deep fried wontons is like a very, I would say, not common thing that you'll see in China. I'll say that.
I understand. Yeah, an American Chinese
perhaps
classic.
Though I feel like there's a history about that. That's actually very interesting.
I'm sure there is, and I would like to know it.
But
I'll do some digging.
But
I'll put it in the newsletter.
The wontons that were there, you know, they look pretty similar to wontons, but they're just like, they're usually soupy. Or soupy to an extent, I guess. And then, so what she was referring to with the bao buns, I was also kind of confused because the word bao in Chinese means like 50 million things that can refer to like 50 million dishes depending on what little word you tack onto the front or end of it. And so I thought, you know, it was going to be that one that you fold in half that you often find like, I don't know, pork belly or something else inside. But it's actually what I would consider a much more commonplace thing that you find in China and Chinese households, which is, I call them baozi, which is like, it looks like a dumpling that just got like a yeasted, like a fluffier wrapping.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I told Peyton like that, like when I bit into it, I was like, oh, this tastes like Chinese food. Like this tastes like a Chinese baozi that like I grew up eating. But there's still a little twist. Like she put a quail egg in there, and I was like, I've never seen that. And like, you know, so she, everything is like, it's that mix of like traditional and also this sort of American-born Chinese identity that she holds.
I think no matter what, when you go in, you're gonna be surprised. You're gonna be surprised by what's on the menu because it's always changing. Yeah. And then you're going to be surprised by what you order. If I hadn't had Ethan there, I think I would have. I mean, I was surprised that I did have Ethan there, but it's going to be a good, pleasant surprise no matter what. It was a delicious surprise no matter which way you
delicious surprise.
It was good. There that's was nothing I disliked.
That's a very good way to describe the restaurant.
I want to wrap us up with a tough question that I think is maybe going to drive the Redditors a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This concept is so ambitious and it seems so involved. Can it possibly last?
I hope so.
I don't see why not.
I think there's so many aspects of a business that most of us are completely not privy to. You know, we see the pre-orders and we see the ordering side of it, but there's the margins out in the back and the labor and the ingredients and all of that. And if they can figure that out and keep the sort of quality up, I think of course it'll last. But I kind of think it's not our place to speculate. It's our place to go if we want. You know, these people are offering us a service. We choose to spend the money to go or not go. And I would say, don't yell at someone online and be mean just because you feel like you paid two extra dollars for something that you like didn't love. I don't know. But I hope them the best because I think that they also are really fabulous people and deserve all the best.
I like that. I want to just ditto what he said.
I love what you just said.
Perfect.
That
was
beautiful. You put it so nicely there, Ethan. All right. Well, one last thing before I let you two go. The dumplings at other places are good too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the fun is trying all different ones. So I thought we might all share a recommendation of a favorite dumpling around Denver. Who wants to start?
I'll start because I feel like my answers are going to be infuriatingly vague. I will say I've been on the search for a really good dumpling for a while now. Mm-hmm. A-Seat Serve does fine dumplings. Mm-hmm. They do good.
This
they're
is
fine.
The ping pong place on mm-hmm. 17th.
Yeah, they're fine. I have had good dumplings at Cholon.
Lonesome Insma's spot.
That said, he has a concept called Yum Cha that is branded as a dumpling house. And I went there when it first opened. Was pretty unimpressed. Ooh. Didn't like it. I thought it was a big miss, unfortunately. And I'm a fan of Lon's. So those are my recommendations for okay dumplings. I will say I've been on a search for a good dumpling since, gosh, a few years ago, I want to say 2019. So Steve Redzikowski, he's the chef up at Oak at 14th in Boulder. Mm. He was on Beat Bobby Flay and he was going against his brother, Brian Redzikowski, who's a chef, I think, in California or somewhere else, somewhere not here. And he was doing dim sum as the thing that he was going to go against Bobby Flay with. Sorry, this is long-winded.
No, this is
but
great.
We go. So they had a big viewing party, which actually we didn't end up viewing because Food Network pushed the show. So it just ended up being a party without a viewing.
Hey, nothing wrong
but
with that.
But he decided to make dim sum, a dim sum party in honor of the dim sum that he, you know, bought Bobby Flay with, which
that you didn't get to see him.
Yes,
make.
Exactly. And anyways, he made some dumplings at that dim sum party that were just phenomenal.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of Oak and Steve Redzikowski. He's great. He did some pork dumplings and they had a rotisserie chicken soup dumpling. I think actually Chase Devitt from Brighter is the one who made the soup dumpling. All that to say, you can't get those dumplings anywhere. It's just a very fond memory that has sent me on this chase looking for good dumplings.
Wow. Thanks. Thanks, Peyton.
So there's my answer.
Love that.
Well, if Oak at 14th ever puts dumplings on the menu,
you can
I guess,
trust they're
you know,
good.
Yes.
Make the trip. Make
exactly.
the trip.
Exactly.
So maybe I'll do a quick one. I have J.W. Lee is this restaurateur who's got a lot of spots in Aurora, which is just a great culinary landscape to explore. I've enjoyed doing that. His dumpling shop, Soul Man Do, it's the more like yeasty, bready kind that you were describing.
They're big.
They're very big.
They're very big.
But they have a vegetarian one that I thought was just fantastic. Very filling. What do you think about Soul Man Do?
I mean, I haven't been there, so I should go. I mean, I know J.W. and he's prolific, I would say is the word.
He certainly is.
He has, I think, like 25, 26 concepts across like the Denver/Aurora.
What's the other stuff he does?
I mean, he has, so
there's a Korean chicken place.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, there's just so many. It's like, he has a Pocha, which is like this sort of like pubish concept. He has Tofu Story. He has Coffee Story, I believe. He has like, yeah, a Korean barbecue. He has.
Is that Dagi?
I mean, he has a Korean barbecue hot pot. He just opened Lizakaya. Like, it's like a. It's very prolific. That's the way.
I digress.
But,
interesting guy.
Yes, for sure. Though I will say, I don't think it's quite as fluffy as the thing that I was talking about, which is
really okay.
It's like,
well, I'm interested in that.
It's
even
like
more
bread.
Now.
You have to think about it. It's like these baozi are like basically bread with filling,
huh.
Which is like, and you don't boil them. Like you just steam them and they go, which
it
I love.
Delicious. Yes. It's like a savory marshlow.
Kind of. Love that. Love that. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Ethan, hit us with your rec.
I digress.
Hit us with your rec.
My recs. Okay. I'm going to give you with like a couple of like cute like Chinese dumplings, like straight at the hip. Brian Dumpling House in Greenwood Village has just their normal pork dumplings. I actually really like just the normal pork dumplings, not the soup dumplings, not the whatever. Like those ones are quite good. And also they have a very fun, like multicolored soup dumpling thing that like you probably won't like every flavor, but you will probably like a majority of the flavors because there's like 8 of them.
Okay.
I also really like Yummy Dumpling. That's in like the northern suburbs. They're fun. They have like some like really funky ingredients or items, but their chili oil wontons are pretty good, and like, you know, they hit when I ate them. And I lobbed this to Peyton last night, and I will lob this to listeners. Expand your definition of a dumpling. Get a pierogi from Easy Vegan.
Ooh.
They're so good.
I've seen them at farmers markets.
Yes, like I live right by City Park Farmers Market. It's they're there every Saturday, and it is like. They make pierogies right. I'm not an expert on pierogies, but if
they're doing something right,
those dumplings are really giving me it.
You're an expert everything. On delicious food, and it gets your stamp of approval.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, wow. I am so excited to just try out more of these spots.
Yeah.
Thank you two so much for, I guess, going out to a nice dinner without me and then joining me this morning. Appreciate your time. Thanks.
Read Ethan's column. It'll change everything you know about dumplings.
That's
I just have
nice.
To throw that in there. It's great. Keep up with it.
And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Plant-based protein. Okay, they're not actually talking about it that much. I'm just still thinking about it. On last Friday's show, I brought up the Thornton-based company Meaty and its sort of chicken mega factory that supplies Whole Foods and Birdcall. I talked about their tremendous growth and new venture capital backing, despite the rest of the industry flatlining. But now, according to Business Den, those venture capitalists are apparently ready to see some profit. Meaty is reportedly laying off roughly 30 people. So I'm left to wonder, will any of these plant-based protein companies be able to survive now that the fad is passed? It's a make-or-break moment for this new industry. I'll let you know more as soon as I have answers. And finally, consider becoming a founding member of CityCast Denver today. You can support the hard work we do every day, bringing you an engaging and useful podcast, and get ad-free episodes, all for as little as $8 a month. Check it out at membership.citycast.fm. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell Penelope Wong, or whoever takes reservations over there, about us. Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our morning newsletter, Hey Denver, at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you then. Well, I ran out of breath. Whole Foods and Birdcall?